This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes five times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Picture. I was just looking at it in the office with KC Adams.
Tom Hanks, shout out.
Director. Yeah, now that's a guy that played defense all the time.
Jack, we appreciate it, buddy.
You got to do it.
All right, stop me if you've heard this before. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ-FM, and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey sports station, always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch, and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low rate auto loan, apply online or just ask First NorCal Financing at the dealer. All right, it's time to clear to play and get into Dr. Feely. Let's go out to the River Island guest line because it's time for Clear to Play, where we take you inside the tent and get you updated on the latest injuries in the Bay. Proud to partner with UCSF's Health on this segment and bring on Dr. Feely. And Doc, how are you today?
Pretty good. Happy holiday, guys.
Happy holidays to you as well. First things first, I want to get into Dre Greenlaw and sort of what's going on with him, because obviously he tore the Achilles last year in the Super Bowl, has been out the entire season and was so good. In fact, Kyle Shanahan said he was the best player on the field defensively for a half against the Rams, and then had some discomfort, but then did start against the Miami Dolphins and then quickly was pulled from that game because, again, of another flare-up. Where's he at, and what's going on with him medically, Doc?
Yeah, I think when you look at his injury last year, it was kind of a fluke injury. He tore his Achilles, literally just jogging onto the field. And this is the other side. It's a calf strain, so it's a different part of the muscle. This is, if you feel where your Achilles is, you go almost 5-6 inches up into the muscle belly. That's where this injury is. I think they're just being safe and conservative. Unfortunately, with them eliminated, there's no real reason for him to play. It would be nice to say we still have a shot if we win the last two, but there's no reason for him to risk injury, to risk further damage. So I think you just shut it down for the year and get him 100% for next year.
Did he do it on a particular play, aggravated, or this is it because it was torque? What in your professional opinion, what aggravated it? Was it a play or just the fact that he's overcompensated? What is your opinion on their thought?
Yeah, we typically see these in during the preseason. So this is probably because he hadn't played in a long time. So I think the best example is Joe Burrow. The example that most people remember is Joe Burrow last year. He had a calf strain at the start of training camp, and it kept him out for 3-4 weeks. He was even in a boot. This is different than Achilles tendonitis like CMC has had this year. So this tends to be an early season injury as you're ramping up in reps, and that's exactly what he did. He went from ramping up during the season but not really playing any games, and he was then the best player on the field, which takes a tremendous amount of energy. His muscles probably weren't quite ready for it, just like we would see in the preseason. And if this was the preseason second game, we'd say, hey, we'll shut him down and get him ready for the regular season. But since it's the end of the season, we can't say that.
Cleared to play with Dr. Brian Feely. And Doc, when we talk about Trent Williams and the offensive line, he's got the bad ankle injury, and he's been shut down for the remainder of the season. Just sort of theoretically, for big guys like that, how difficult is it to come back from the sprained or the bad ankle, rather?
Yeah, I think for any tall and big athletes, we see this particularly in the NBA and in offensive and defensive linemen, you know, your ankle is a relatively small joint that takes a tremendous amount of force. So chronic ankle sprains like Trent has had are going to play a toll. And he's had one off and on for the last couple of years. It kept him out of a few games last year. And I think it's the same thing. If we were in the playoffs, he plays. You can tape him. You can rest him during the during the week. But without anything to play for, a person at that caliber, you rest him and get him ready for next year.
What about Banks? When you think about the offensive line, guys are dropping like flies. What was the injury? Is it something he could play if it was playoffs still at stake? Or is this something you say, hey, foregone conclusion, he'd be out no matter what?
I think, you know, typically with Banks's injury, you're looking at about 4 weeks anyway. On average, with these types of injuries, you're looking 3 weeks maybe for some athletes, but on average across the NFL, it's a four-week injury. So in best of circumstances, like last year, we had a bye. He'd be out for the last two games, have a week off, and maybe play in that first game. So I think as soon as that injury happened, it was a foregone conclusion. He's out no matter how thin the line is.
Doc, what's the latest on Isaac Guerrero and his hamstring?
Well, since I don't treat him, I don't know what the latest update is. Typically with mild hamstring strains and explosive athletes, these are 2 to 3 week injuries. It's hard because he obviously wants to play. He wants to be out on the field. But at the same time, the worst thing you can do with a hamstring injury is re-injure it, because that takes something that's going to be a few weeks to get better to several months. And my guess is he wants to have a good offseason. He's definitely solidified where he is in the pecking order, and he had a great season. So if I were him and I were the training staff, I want him ready for next season more than anything else. So they'll wait for him to be 100%.
Doc, on a personal note, I'm being a bit selfish here, so I like to swim in the San Francisco Bay, and I've developed an impingement. How in my stroke, I've never been in more pain in terms of my right shoulder. What do you recommend?
So the weird thing about swimming is it's not a good rotator cuff strengthening exercise. You use all deltoids and all lats. So when people swim a fair amount, they tend to get their deltoids strong. Haven't seen you in person. I'm sure you have huge strapping deltoids. You need to do the rotator cuff exercises to back it up. So band work, internal and external rotation, that helps pull your shoulder down. And then, unfortunately, the other thing is rest. And sometimes it just takes 2-3 weeks of rest to let everything calm down.
Man, that was precious right
See,
there.
Doc, gave it to, Doc, you usually charged for that. You gave that to him for free. I already did that, Doc.
I didn't say the bill wasn't in the mail.
Okay, there we go.
Dr. Brian Feeley, thank you so much for joining us. The proceeding was sponsored by UCSF Health.
Man,
swim it all? I mean, well, you know, you got to – when you play, right, after a game, how long are you in the tub, as they like to say? Is that like immediately after the game, or is it the next day?
It's the next day. The next morning you're in there. I would do swimming in the off season. I still now go to GB3, shout out George Brown, go there and I go swim. You know, I'll get 30 minutes in. I'll run in the pool, swim in the pool, you know, do little strokes in. Had a pool at the house, wasn't using it as much. I was like, you know what? So, yeah, I can swim, but am I an avid swimmer? No. But pool workouts, way easier on the joints, less impactful. So I love it.
You got a pool in the house, man. Way to drop that. Was that in Clovis?
No. I had a pool at the house. I sold it. Sold the pool.
All right. We got Gene's hanging out in Oakland.
Gene's
get back into the Golden State Warriors talk. And Gene, what's on your mind? Fix the Warriors. What's up, buddy?
Hello. First of all, full disclosure, I'm not a coach like the last caller. I'm an engineer, but what occurs to me, and I know this is not breaking news, that, listen, maybe it's about time Kerr just settled on a rotation, maybe a nine-man rotation. Because, you know, maybe part of the problem, a good part of the problem might be that these guys don't, most of them don't even know their roles. You know, whether they're going to come off the bench, whether they're going to start, how long they're going to play. You know, so I think that can get into these guys' heads, particularly someone like Kuminga. We know how that affected him early on. Maybe it's affecting him now, you know. So he has a good game, he has a bad game. I don't know. It just feels like, you know, by now, Kerr ought to know what he's got. I understand he had a lot of new players, all of comparable skills, but, you know, but with flaws. But he, once again, he should know what he's got at this point, even with Schroeder. So I'd like to see him just settle on a set rotation for, I don't know, the next 4 to 6 weeks or whatever. It can't be much worse or any worse than, you know, what they've been doing the last, what, 14 games where they've lost 11 of them already. So, anyways, that's what I'd like to see.
Gene, before you go, what kind of engineer are you, man? That's pretty impressive. Mechanical engineer?
No, civil, structural, buildings mostly.
Oh, okay. That's some serious schooling right there.
Yeah, it is. Where'd you go to school? Did you go? My son went Bowler Up, Hammer Down. He's a little Purdue, you know, a little construction engineer as well.
That's a good school, yeah.
Where'd you do your school?
I went to Tufts Spec East, and then I went to UC Berkeley for my master's.
Wow.
Yeah. It's my job to make sure your buildings that you occupy don't fall down on you.
Talk to me about what's going on. What's the latest in terms of trying to restructure where Joe Montana lives, that tower that was they found was sinking?
Oh, that thing? Oh, the Millennial Tower?
The Millennial.
The last I heard so quickly, I mean, the reason that happened, I don't know if you're aware, is that that's like the heaviest building in the city. And they were supposed to go all the way down with the piers to the rock. And they cheated and didn't. And they got away with it. And sure enough, and then they started to do the Transbay Center next door. There's a lot of, you know, disruption. So, you know, consequently, the thing started, rotating. And I think it was off by like 16 inches or something at one point. What I heard was what the fix was supposed to be was pounding all these steel piles into the ground and you know, providing underpinning for the building. So it was one of those deals where it was too expensive to do it right the first time, but a lot more expensive to fix it afterwards.
Yeah, it's like in a lot of the buildings here are built on landfill. It's why when you have these earthquakes, everything falls like a house of cards. Would you like the sponsorship here at 95.7 The Game? We can hook you up if you want to be a... Oh, all right. What the hell with you? Now, Gene, I talk to Gene all the time. Call again, Gene. I'll talk to you on Saturday morning. We are sponsored by the Inn at the Tizer. Do you want a legal ID? Would you like that?
You do, you,
What's
baby.
What's the over-under on my legal IDs today?
10.
We are sponsored by the Inn at the Tizer. The Bayview Restaurant is delighted to announce the return of their popular winemaker dinner series. 5 evenings of exquisite wines from the best local vintners, expertly paired with a delicious 4-course menu. Reserve your spot today at innatthetides.com. All right. Don't forget, we got Steve Kerr coming up in less than an hour. We'll continue to talk a little Warriors. We want to get into football. I do want to talk about the Chiefs at some point. At some point?
No Chiefs.
All right. We'll be back. Lo and Dan after this.
Being told by Wiggins where to line up. Schroeder will screen. Ball to Draymond. Back to Curry. Curry takes a deep three. It's good! And the right corner falling out of bounds. 1-point game, but there's only 12.2 on the clock. Wiggins, as Draymond will screen now for Curry. To Curry. Curry gets an open three. Look, it's on the way. Tie game! Tie game! There might be one more gift left under the tree. 17 points in the fourth. A great screen by Draymond. And Curry nails it. And it's James who pops out. Wants the ball that gets to Reeves. Reeves with 5. With 4. Guarded by Wiggins. Reeves takes a drive left side. Drives and gets a layup with 1 second to go in the game. Curry in the backcourt. Gets it off, but I don't think it was in time. And somehow the Warriors give up a layup with 1 second to go to lose. 115-113 the final.
Everybody's disappointed. We've lost some confidence. You can feel it. You know, we had great vibe early in the season, and we're going through it right now. But I love our guys, high character guys. They care. They care about the game. They care about each other. I believe in them. I believe we're going to get this thing turned around. You know, this is all part of it. It's part of the season, part of life. You hit these ebbs, and, you know, you feel like it's everything's tough, everything's difficult, and you got to feel the flow. You got to feel instill the confidence, and we'll keep plugging away, and we'll get there.
Dub Nation, it's the voice of the Warriors, Tim Roy. Catch the head coach of the Warriors, Steve Kerr, with Willard and Dibbs every week right here on 95.7 The Game.
That was Coach Kerr last night in his postgame conference talking about how this team obviously has hit sort of a low point. And Lowe, I know, as a guy who's been there before, and, you know, he mentioned this. Listen, the Warriors typically are able to avoid this because they've been so good throughout the years. But there's always, when you talk about basketball, baseball, certainly, they use words like attrition. And that you're going to go through the ebb and flow and the peaks and valleys. And this is clearly one of those that you just have to get through. But yeah, as a guy who's been there, and when you're losing like this, and it just stinks, and the morale is terrible, how do you get out of it? What is it that you do? They had a players-only meeting before the game. Again, does that help? Has that ever helped in the history of sports? What is your professional sort of input, not only on a players-only meeting, but when you hit this low rung of the ladder as far as a team and experiencing the rash of losses like that of the Golden State Warriors?
Yeah, I think, does it help to have a players-only meeting? It can help, but it depends on what your team is. I've been on teams where, you know, we go 14-2 and we're on the charge and we have a players-only meeting, but you knew that you were a good team. You knew what you were dealing with. And I've been on teams where, you know, didn't have that type of team, and you knew that it wasn't necessarily going to be pretty. And that is just that time where you meet and it's like, hey, guys, we got to fight. We got to hold on. Look, let's just show everyone that we can play together as a team. And no matter what happens, guys, let's just compete. Let's compete at a high level. That's that talk when you know that you're not going to win. It's about just competing. That's, I think, where the Warriors are at. They're having conversations about, guys, your name is on this. Let's go out and compete. You're kind of like where the Niners are. I mean, of course, it's a longer season. You can say, oh, anything's going to turn around. It's hard when, if you're 15-15 and you're looking at it during your, you know, quarter of the season over, and you're like, okay, how are we going to, 10 more games, you're at the halfway point, 12 more games. How do you really think you're going to turn around when you're at 500? It's hard because you've seen who you are right now. The Warriors are going to have to make some tough decisions, but you have those meetings and you just want guys to say, look, don't quit. Don't quit on each other.
Yeah, I don't know if the Warriors are ready to quit, but it's just, and Draymond and Steph and the veterans have been there. Well, they haven't experienced losing like this, but I guess the concern is more on sort of the younger players.
Don't fight. Don't accept it. You can have these meetings, and it's not don't quit. It's like, look, don't accept this. I've been on teams where I went to a Pro Bowl. I was in Cincinnati. We won freaking 4 games. I went to a Pro Bowl because I made sure that my play was going to be at another level, and it's hard to do that. See, a lot of guys, you're like, look at Steph. Steph's going to be awesome. I mean, you watch some of these guys. He's teaching these guys. So if it's not going to get into a playoff, it's like, guys, I'm going to follow. You guys follow my lead. I'm going to get us there. And it's get us there to say, how do you win? And they get the goal. Even though this year may not be successful, and it may be successful, but what do you take from it? These guys know they're playing with a first ballot, one of the greatest three-point shooters. Well, today, the greatest three-point shooter the game has ever seen. You're playing with him. So if you're a young guy, what are you taking from Steph Curry? That's the thing. The team meetings, those things like, hey, guys, man, look, we're playing. We owe this guy. And just don't quit on yourself. Understand defense. Get better. That's what it's about. When you're on a team and you look like it seems like, hey, look, I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know how good we're going to be. That's when you got to say, let me meet you in the weight room. You know what? I'm going to get out some extra shots. Hey, we're going to practice and we're going to do more walkthroughs. It's not about practicing harder. It's about practicing smarter. It's about doing the small things. And that's what it is. It's about buying in even when you're facing adversity.
If you have a players only meeting, maybe, I guess, I don't know. I've never played, but I'm assuming that it might work if you do it maybe once. If you're doing those things multiple times a year or even multiple times within a 5-year span, like it's, you lose your sort of, like, I remember Robert De Niro would never go on late night shows, right? It's because he's Robert De Niro, for crying out loud. It's like, maybe he'll go once, but that created the allure and the impact of, you know, oh my God, De Niro's here, I'm going to listen. If you're having more than one of those players only, it's sort of like falling on deaf ears, is it not?
It really is. And that's why, you know, Steph and Draymond, you know, they call the meeting and just trying to tell these guys, hey, look, guess what? They've been on teams where when Steph first came to the NBA and came to the Warriors, they lost. So Steph's got to be able, this is where Steph's like, look, guys, I've been here before. This is tough. I'm not used to this. We've been on winning. We won 4 or 5 championships. But guess what? Those windows are closed. Those windows aren't always staying open. So what are you going to do in this difficult time? Steph's been on a team where he lost early in his career. Him and Dre. So how do you teach? This is those teaching moments that a head coach can't teach you that. This is where Steph and Draymond have to step up in their character and continue to just work on these guys. So, yeah, it's hard. When you're having all these special, these team meetings, it doesn't help.
Talking about the Golden State Warriors, losers of 11 of their last 14, a reminder that Coach Steve Kerr is going to join us coming up at the top of the hour at 5 o'clock, and we'll get into all things Warriors with him. Golden State now just trying to figure things out as far as the rotation is concerned. 7-7, by the way, at home, so Chase is no longer an advantage. This all after the 12-3 start. So, you know, it's not all on D'Anthony Melton. I know a lot of people like to say, oh, D'Anthony Melton has certainly, you know, hurt this team. And he has, because they finally solidified a rotation and he, quote unquote, unlocked, you know, Mr. Curry. But I it's hard for me to believe that if D'Anthony Melton was healthy and playing on this team, that the team still is struggling. He was a vital member, but he wasn't that important. So the issues with the Warriors go far deeper than any D'Anthony Melton injury. And at the end of the day, as much as we try and pull back the layers and stick this under a microscope and figure out who the culprit is, because that's what we like to do on Sports Talk Radio, point a finger, it's his fault. No, it's his fault. This is what's wrong. No, I know what's wrong. The caller in line 3, he's got the answer. Is this just at the end of the day that you just don't have the horses? In other words, that you don't have the personnel. And no matter what it is that you do, that you're always going to fall short because this is a team that just simply can't match up with the better teams in the NBA, namely in the Western Conference.
No question. And you get it, brother. You know that, Dan. I mean, hell, Emmitt Smith, everyone says he should have never left the Dallas Cowboys. But, you know, he left because, guess what, the window was closed. Dallas said, hey, look, we can't afford to pay him. We're not going to pay him. One of the greatest running backs ever. LaDainian Thomason, you know, left Detroit. And you got to realize, even though you have Steph and all these different guys on this team, the window, sometimes it closes. It's not pretty. It's not a pretty thing, but you got to be able to accept it. So when guys say, oh, well, they could do this and they got to do it for Steph, you don't have enough horses. I don't care how many team meetings. I don't care what you do. I don't care how much you practice. When you just don't got it, you just ain't got it. And that's where they're at. It's no harm, no foul in that. But it's like, how do you get better in difficult times? How do you get better and how do you grow? I know it's painful. And they'll say, hey, Steph doesn't need this. Steph's got hundreds of millions of dollars. Steph is going to enjoy this ride. You know, if Steph wanted to go win a championship, Steph could go to a team that's a contender, and he could win and be huge for a team because he would have help around him. Teams would be lined up if you were going to move Steph. But the Warriors know if you move Steph, the seats that he sells, he put butts in a seat. They're getting to watch an icon. He's the greatest 3-point shooter. So It's just a growing pain that these Warrior fans, we're going to have to go through because, like you said, you just don't have the horses.
888-957-9570 is the phone number. Let's get out to Rodney. He's hanging out in Oakland. Wants to get in on the Warriors talk. Rodney, how are you tonight?
Hey, thanks for having me on, fellas. Hey, it's just the Warrior thing is very simple. Draymond and Steph, you want to start or you want to win a championship? Because when you first got in the league, y'all was starting, but the OGs were sitting on the bench making the second team happen. It's your turn to be the OGs and sit on the bench and make it happen. You're not going to get a ring and start. That's it.
Rodney, that's good knowledge because that is, you're spot on when they first came into the league. But are you telling me you don't want, who's Steph going to give way to?
I would put Moses Moody out there. That's the future. Put your future players out there who should be getting experience and getting confidence and everything, and then just have Steph come in and just light them up with 30 in the second quarter and just kill the other team. That's the way y'all did it before.
What about Moses Moody's game tells you he's the future?
Just if you look back at the championship run they had last when he was part of it at the Boston game, he was not fazed by Boston. He was dropping threes, and Kerr took him out.
Rodney,
the dude has it in him. Yes.
Appreciate it, man. Thank you so much. I don't know that I necessarily agree. I think Rodney might be sipping from the holiday punch a little bit too much. No.
No, it's a situation where, yeah, I understand what he's saying. Sit the stars. Like, you guys remember that transition. The older guys are sitting on the bench. But that's not here. You don't have enough. Your cupboards are bare. You do not have enough young guys, superstars, upcoming superstars, to sit Steph and Draymond. It's just not there.
San Jose, California. Let's get out to Nick. Wants to talk about Steve Kerr and the Warriors. Hey, Nick.
Hey, fellas. How you doing? First of all, Lowe, you're the best fullback I've ever seen. You need to be in Canton, dude.
My man.
That's number one.
My man.
Number one. Number two, I got to let you guys know, I was so disgusted with Kerr's comments last night. We are, what, 30 games into the season. He says he admits he has no rotation, and Kerr was a bench role player. You need to give guys consistency. So I blame this on Kerr. Last few minutes of a game, still doing the freelance stuff. This is 14 games. We're 3-11. Lakeup needs to start shaking some things up. I would get rid of everyone except Wiggins, Curry, and Draymond. You need to get someone like the Mavericks did, two big guys, and get a dog like Butler. And Kuminga, how could he not play help defense last night? That guy needs to go because he's not worth $35 million a year. Get something for him. Low Hall of Fame. Buddy, Happy New Year.
Oh, God, he came in hot. You need to call back anytime, brother.
I love the way he tagged out. Happy New Year, USOPs. By the way, let's just get back to what it is that he was alluding to and Steve Kerr and the sound from last night when he was talking about rotations and not finding one to this point.
In fairness to our guys, we've been all over the map this year, rotation-wise. I've had a million different starting lineups. Guys are in and out of certain roles, rotations. I'm well aware of that, and that's hard as a player to not know, you know, how many minutes you're going to get, what minutes you're going to get. The reality is we're searching. We've lost 11 of 14 games, and, you know, I don't feel like this is a roster where you just say, all right, here are our top eight guys or top nine guys. We just play those guys. That's our roster is really deep, and we've got a lot of guys who can play, and every game calls for something different. That's the issue. You know, we've got it. There's certain games we need more shooting. There's certain games we need more defense, and so we've got a lot of guys who can play, but it's been difficult, you know, to develop consistent rotations and lineup combos, and I think it has not been easy for the guys, but you know, we'll keep plugging away.
By the way, Coach Kerr will join us now at 5:30. So he's going to join us in an hour. We'll hear from the head coach, and we can talk to him about the rotation. But certainly, this is an area of concern that, and as, listen, I think that you can go after him for not finding a rotation up to this point, but I think what Kerr is telling you, he's being pretty forthright here, and he's just laying it on the line. Like, I just don't have the horses. If there was a rotation that made sense, you don't think he wants to play those guys to start a game and then end a game? He's essentially echoing what it is I think you and I have talked about, that he's admitting that he doesn't have the guys.
How long has Steve Kerr been the coach? And we know how long he's been the coach, Warriors, how many championships he won. Did he have, you remember when they had, we knew who the starting five was. You knew it's going to be Clay, it's going to be Dre, it's going to be, you know, Steph, of course. You had KD. You said, hey, these are my starters. It was unmutable. You don't think if Steve Kerr knew that he had a starting five that he could roll out there night in and night out, he would do it? Of course. Now, I do understand the callers, they're angry and disappointed because they're saying, you've already played 30 games. You don't have someone that you can get some continuity and roll them out there. And if his answer is no, because he's the head coach, he's saying that this player can only do this. He's limited, so I can't keep him out there, so I can't name him a starter. If a guy's filling it, I'm leaving him in longer because he's filling it that night. If he's playing good, then I got to do that. So it's hard. So I see that Kerr's in a tough situation. That's why he hasn't said, here's my starters. But I think he's at that point and at that time where right now you know that it's not working. You got to make that decision and say, okay, I'm going to roll these guys out here and let the chips fall where they may. But another part is you can't wear out Steph Curry, Draymond, and have these guys in their 30s think that they can carry the load.
I would agree with you. No,
whoa, I thought you just wanted to take it out. Man down. Man down. I wish you guys saw that. Everyone that's watching on YouTube and Twitch, I mean, this mic comes out like it almost takes this guy out. I mean, Dan kind of weaved. You look kind of like Joe Frazier and Ali watching this fight on ESPN.
Yeah,
the way you ducked and
Madison
got out of the way.
Square Garden. Now I'm doing.
You all right?
Now I'm doing lounge act in Vegas. Man.
You got 9 minutes till the break, so you're gonna.
I'm coming to the moon.
Handheld. I have a question for Lo. Can I ask him?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Hey, Lo, it's Lucas, your producer.
Lucas Alexander, what's up, Lo?
Thanks for having me. Pleasure to be on
best,
with you.
Baby.
Pride of USC, Lucas Alexander.
The way what Kurt's talking about with his rotations and roles and all that, the way that he's changed it on a night-to-night basis, imagine if you came to the facility on a Sunday morning, whenever you got there, 8, 9 a.m. before the game.
Yeah.
You didn't know if you were playing fullback that day, if you were playing running back, if you were playing receiver, if you were playing tackle. And you also didn't know if you were starting, and you didn't know how many snaps you were going to play. Like, what is that? How difficult is that to an athlete? It seems nearly impossible to get used to.
It's possible to get used to, but not probable. Because one day you're excited, and that's why you see it wore off. First, you're like, oh, man, I'm playing a three today. Oh, I'm playing a two. Okay, I'm playing point. I'm playing this. And then after a while, you're like, hell, just put me in my position. This is where I need to be. And so, but Kerr's looking at it saying, just because you believe that you need to be at that position, I see something else. So either Kerr's got to understand that, hey, that mystique has worn off, bro. And it's shown that it hasn't worked. So if I came in and one day running back, if he tells me, hey, look, you're going to dot the I. If I'm in my second or third year in the league, I'm like, let me dot it. Give me 20 totes. I can get it done. But you're in year 10, year 12, 13, 14. You know that certain things you can't do. And now you put a guy that's, you got a center that's light, undersized. You said, I'm going to put him down there and let him get beat up and banged. It's just, sometimes you know that it does not work. So it would, as a player, it would be very, very tough to answer your question. It'd be very tough and very uncomfortable. And you would be disappointed. And you'd be confused and at times frustrated.
Let's get back out to the phone lines. I'm sorry. Are you done, Lucas Alexander?
Well, I want to continue with just where Kerr's going with this, right? We're 29 games into an 82 game schedule. That's over a third of the way through. He loves to say, as do most coaches and people who cover the NBA, that 20 games into a season, you kind of know who you are. And he's told us that he knows who he is. He thinks they're a good basketball team. They've lost a lot of games recently. He still can't figure out who's starting games, what the rotations are, who does what and what role. What does that say about Kerr and how he feels about this team, that he's still making all these changes as we're nearing halfway through a season already?
Well, I think part of it is the injury to D'Anthony Melton. Part of it is the inconsistency of Jonathan Kuminga, who is, I don't think, has taken that step to give the confidence that he's clearly, not only should he be in the rotation, but he is the star that they've anticipated for so long. While I understand it, it's frustrating, but to Steve Kerr's point, aside from Andrew Wiggins, Steph, and Draymond Green, who is it that I feel comfortable putting out on the floor, again, that I know are going to give me reliable minutes? I think Kerr is a product of his personnel. And it's not as though there's somebody, because here's another way to look at it, Luke. Who is it that he's not playing that you would say, my God, that's a huge oversight? And I think he's just making the most of what it is that he has to work with. And it's 12 or 13 deep that in the beginning of the season had this unmatched energy and a defensive presence that won games. And now that that's gone, you're trying to do it with smoke and mirrors. And it's obviously, at the end of the day, the NBA is about, you know, there's five guys that start, and it's always been a player's league. That you need talent. You need guys that can score and play defense. You need better players than the other team. That's more often than not how you win in this league. And trying to do it with 13 guys, you can disguise and hide things for a certain amount of time, but eventually I think people are going to catch up to you. Can we get out to Kevin in Oakland really quick?
Yeah, I'll give you one last thing, a little breaking news piece here. Gary Payton II, he played 7 minutes last night. You're talking about shortening a rotation. Here's in something that makes it a little easier for Steve Kerr. He's going to miss a week with a calf injury. And I think just real quick to what you were saying, who wasn't in the rotation last night that Warriors fans may want or I would want, there are plenty of Moses Moody stands out there, including the guy who just called who said he wants him to probably be playing 30-plus minutes. He got a DNP CD and a loss. And, I mean, Lindy Waters as well was starting games early in the season. He didn't get any minutes. Those are two. And Kyle Anderson. But when you're dealing with such a deep team already, a couple guys just aren't going to make the rotation. I don't personally, I don't know what Moses Moody would have done necessarily to help last night, but a lot of Warrior fans love him.
So it's got to be one or the other. People are making the argument that, okay, you didn't. Lenny Waters is clearly out of the rotation. Anderson's out of the rotation. Moses Moody didn't play. But in order for you to simplify things, it's going to come at the cost of some players not playing. And the one guy that I would, if I had to go out to curb about something, was the fact that Trace Jackson Davis, who I think has been very good of late and was very good last night, didn't close. And the reason there was because AD was out of the game, so they wanted to go small. But I think Trace Jackson Davis, regardless of Anthony Davis' availability or the fact that he wasn't on the floor, should have been in that closing lineup as well. All right, now can we get to Kevin out in Oakland?
You may.
Kevin, man, you owe me, brother, because Lucas just wanted to dominate the show, but
Luke,
I said no. I
gotta
get
came out in hard.
Sorry, Kev.
Got to get out to my man, Kev. So, Kev, you better deliver the goods, my man.
I'm delivering. Can you guys hear me?
Got you.
All right, check this out. We all know all dynasties come to an end, right? Especially in the NBA, whether San Antonio, Bulls, Lakers, they all come to an end. And the toughest part about a dynasty is we hold on to our franchise player, once-in-a-generation player, too late. And so in life, it's always hard to buy low and sell high, right? We never get the top. So this is what I propose. I propose we trade Steph Curry and rebuild. Because, and here's the point. If he wants to go back to Charlotte, for example, get LaMelo Ball, a couple good role players, and a Herschel Walker trove of draft picks and start rebuilding.
Can you get that much for him, though,
man? That's what I don't know. But what I do know is that if we follow the standards, be garbage. Just like San Antonio was garbage for the last 8 years, Boston after they lost Bird. And we're gonna. And I understand. It's almost blasphemous to trade Steph Curry, but if we don't, we're gonna follow the same script as these other dynasties. That's all I have to say.
I see. I understand what he's saying. But the biggest thing is, like, look, you can trade all these players, but if you miss in the draft and if you don't have the right players, you still set yourself back. So a bird in hand is better than two in the bush. So I understand what you're saying, but. You're not going to get an overhaul for Steph. You're going to get something. A championship team will trade something for him because they know that he can go. Steph can step into a bunch of teams that are one player away or shoot away, and they're going to win a championship. Steph can do that.
It's not as crazy as a lot of people make it out to be, trading Steph. I get it, especially now when there's some value and you need to rebuild. But the reason why it'll never happen is because that dude prints money.
Prints money.
Whatever jersey he puts on, if it's Charlotte, they suddenly get the cash cow.
Exactly.
And you can't even quantify how much money that dude means.
People come everywhere to watch him play.
Golden State Warriors.
Yes.
And not only that, when you travel and you sell out arenas. And so Joe Lacob, listen, he cut his teeth as a business tycoon. So it's about profit margins. It's about making money at the end of the day. And there's no way in hell that Joe Lacob would ever move that guy. But I like the thinking because it does, from a basketball sense, it's somewhat plausible. All right, we got to get to a break. We'll take more of your calls. Mike in Oakland, hang out. We'll get back to the Warriors. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. It's Lo Neal and it's Dan Devon. I'll continue with my lounge act here, holding the mic. Tiny bubbles in the wine make me happy.
Nice!
Make me feel so fun. Let's get the hell out of here.
Let's go.
Dub Nation is Moses Moody. Catch my head coach Steve Kerr with Willard and Dibbs each and every week right here on 95.7 The Game.
All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, in Lathrop? Well, Moses Moody, Lucas pointed out, a DNP last night. That's a weird relationship. I still can't get my arms around it. Sometimes he plays, looks as though he's playing well, and then he disappears. And then at the end of the day, the last guy in the world you think that they're going to extend, they give him a contract extension. So they see value in there somewhere. But yet, how it is that they rationalize this in their mind as to how he contributes to this basketball team, I don't think I'm smart enough to ever understand. So
Well, that's why we got Kerr. So I guess you could ask him. Hopefully he could give us some answers. I think that people want to know.
No, I'm just barking now. Rest assured.
Right, right. When Kerr comes over, hey, Coach, hey, I love you.
How's Christmas?
How's Christmas? You're the best. So
but
you have to. It's you know what? How uncomfortable it must be. You know, and he understands we have a job to do. He understands he has a job to do. But it's tough, man, because you know it and I know it. We can make Coach Kerr very uncomfortable. And it's like, you know, it's like, but that's not what this is about. It's about just kind of like, you know, asking the question and let him, people don't need to be told what to do, just ought to be reminded. And I think that's what this is about tonight. Just like, hey, ask these questions saying, what do you think? What, how is this? Why? And ask the why. And I think he does a great job of answering. He'll give us the answer.
I'm a big fan of his, though. In all full disclosure, I know as a coach, just like any coach, you're going to come into criticism and ridicule. He understands that. I just, for what he stands for off the field, off the court,
he's amazing.
All right, Mike's out in Oakland. Let's get back out to the phone calls. 888-957-9570. And we'll hear from Mike and his take on what's happening with the Dubs. What's up, Mike?
Okay, so where do I start? Because there's a lot of things, so I'm going to start here. Okay, so Steve Kerr is the commander. And if the commander is not in line with the team is going to show they're out of line. So Steve Kerr has to get himself in line for one thing. The other thing I feel like, as a coach back in the day myself, I played all my players. I wanted all my players to feel like they were part of the game because that brought good morale. It got good hustle. I was able to bring fresh guys in, take tired guys out. I just think as a team, that's what it stands for. And when somebody said to Steve Kerr, you know you're going to have to shorten your roster, and when he started doing that, that's when we started losing. And it took the fun out of the game for the players and the joy. Because if you look on the sideline, where's the joy at? Everybody's confidence is down. Nobody shoots the open shot. They go and dribble the ball in and turn it over. I mean, shoot the open shot, bro. I mean, that's my take. And those are the reasons why they're losing. That's, thank you, fellas.
Do that again. Shoot the open shot, bro.
Thanks, Mike.
Oh, that was great.
Yeah, listen, it's frustrating, man. I get it. But I got to tell you, though, at the beginning of the season, I mean, are we really surprised that we're here right now? I mean.
No. Everyone said that wasn't going to work long.
Yeah, what did we talk about at the beginning of the year? 12 or 13 guys, is this sustainable? As it turns out, it's not. Mm-hmm. And even before they had the early success and you looked at that roster, Buddy Hield never excited me. He is who he is at the end of the day. He can be good, but he's like any shooter in the NBA that makes his living off of hitting threes. Sometimes you're good, sometimes you're not. It just depends on, you know, what side of the pillow you woke up on. And all of those guys. I mean, I know we get excited over the new shiny toy that's Schroeder, and we got to give Mr. Schroeder some time. But Schroeder, there's a reason why you were with six different teams in the last 7 years. I mean, if there's real value there, teams aren't going to let you go. That's pretty fundamental. This is not a... We talked about sizzle the other day. Did you see any sizzle with Purdy and Tua Tagovailoa? I don't know, aside from Steph, that there's anything where I would go, there's no wow factor here. I mean, this is who they are.
Right. And no question, when you think about Steph has that pizzazz, that wow factor. We talked about it, you know, Josh Allen, you know, those type of quarterbacks. That's who Steph is. And then you have, like you said, Tua and Purdy, not that they're bad, but they're just guys. And you got to realize there's a lot of guys in the NBA. There's not a lot of great players. And that's why Kerr said, hey, we're a good team. We're not great. He didn't say we got a bunch of great players. You've never heard him say that. When he had KD and Clay and Steph, and they were at the peak of their, you know, at the peak of their superpower, he said, "We're a great team. We got great players here." He's never said these are good guys that he's trying to, you know, turn into players. And you got to realize Steph is the only elite shooter. There is no elite players on that team, on that roster. I don't care how you look at it. There is no top tier players on that roster besides Steph. You know, and that's just what it is right now.
Here's the other way to look at it. Well, I get it for what it is that he said last night, that he's still trying to settle on the rotation and you're this deep into the season. But here's the other side of that coin. Let's just say he's settled on 7 to 8 guys. He's got a rotation. And you still are struggling. And you still have lost 11-14. What would people be clamoring then? I'll tell you what they'd be saying. It's like, you need to find a different rotation. You need to play different players. These guys obviously aren't the answer. I want to see more of fill in the blank. You need to, you know, you need to continue to search for a rotation. You need to play more guys. You need to get this guy out of the lineup. I mean, there's damned if you do, damned if you don't right now. When you don't have personnel, there's no way to sugarcoat that thing, man. And there's no way to dress that thing up and pretend you're good. You're going to get exposed one way or the other, whether you find a rotation or you don't have a rotation. Lack of talent is lack of talent.
Yeah, and you got to be careful because everyone's, oh, well, let's trade. You be careful because if you trade away the forum for guys that are just past their prime or just players that used to have sizzle and used to have names, now what'd you do? Now you got to go back. You know, you trade away those players or trade away draft picks. What does that do for you? So you just got to be careful. I know it's by the NBA, by the record, the lottery, and all that, how that works. So you just have to be careful what you're doing as the Warriors to say, what do we do? Are we all in on a restart? Do we keep Steph? Because we know, like you said, he's the golden goose. He's the cash cow. You keep him and everyone else is expendable. Everyone else, you try to say, how do we overhaul this team and keep Steph as the face? You can do that. That's not the first team NBA team that didn't do that. You think about Karl Malone and, you know, Stockton. You overhaul the team. Those guys stayed your face. There's always what you have to do. You know, Magic was past his prime. You look at Kobe, past his prime. But you always went and said, hey, look, these are guys that are the cash cow. You're going to let those guys sell the tickets, and you don't let go of those guys. And that's just how it is.
Were you ever traded?
Yeah.
Did you get traded?
I got traded. I was in the Jets. Got traded to Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Oh,
yeah. So it was fine with those played for Parcells.
And you didn't like New York, so you were kind of happy to go.
I was very happy, to get traded. But it was still a great experience. And guys understand. You understand. Draymond was one of those guys who is a business guy. He understands this sport. These guys understand the NBA and sports. They understand that. Hey, look. I may get traded. This may happen. Draymond knows that. You don't think Draymond's hadn't talked to his agent? What do you think? I've been in those situations where you think, I'm good. I'm going to stay here. What do you think is going to happen? Team's inquiring about. Because the Warriors are in that position now that hey, you might have to turn the page on Draymond. Or, go get it. Because Draymond has value. A team that wants his defense prowess, what he brings to the table, his IQ. He can play, he can play darn near all five positions. I mean, Dre can play point, he can play guard. He's not the greatest shooter, but he still can play. He's a great facilitator. He can play center. So you have some value in it, but you just can't miss. So I just think that you look at this, and everyone's talking about, hey, the Warriors need a championship. Steph deserves that. You don't. There's not a player that's going to make that happen. You got to say, Steph, sorry, we tried. We have to go get younger. We have to go get some players that we can build around, and you could be a part of this process because we don't want you to go anywhere.
All right, let's get back out to the phone lines. Kev's hanging out in Pleasanton, P-Town, the location, wants to fix the Warriors. What's up, Kev?
Hey, what's up, guys? This is Kev from Pleasanton that talked to Lowe about Edison. We were talking about football and DB Guru.
That part.
Ricky Whittle.
Right. Right.
Don't leave me out of the conversation when it comes to the no.
Hey, you were on point. I was surprised. You knew about Clovis.
He's been down there in the bottom. Don't let him fool you. Hey, Dan been down there to the dirty. He know what's happening.
The bottom. Okay. So check it out. So, I've called in before and told the guys basically. And I was a season ticket holder from Oakland, but I didn't do it when Laker made the money move over to the Peninsula side of the house because of all the corporate sponsorship filling up the seats. But anyway, that's another conversation. It's all about the money, like the other guy said, it's about the money. However, until Kerr is gone, this is going to be the same thing. He's great, but Phil Jackson had to go at one point in time too, remember? So, I mean, Kerr is the smartest guy in the room, and no one can out-talk him or defeat what he has to say. The way he's playing the guys, it sucks. It's unfortunate. But Steve Kerr believes that his system is the best system. And so he's going to play fill-in guys mixed in with great guys because he thinks he can plug and play. But guess what? You're not going to win, Steve, with that. I would beat the hell out of you, Steve, because I'll double-team Steph. And Draymond's not going to score. And then depending on whatever the lineup he has, he's not putting confidence in the players to score. Last year, when Kuminga finally had enough, and Draymond, kind of crapped out on us for about 15 games. We won 10 games. Why? Kuminga. Kuminga was the hottest player in the league last year and for about a month and a half. We all know that. He was the number two. Guess what position he played? The four. Guess where he played? The block. And everything ran through Kuminga. I'm not saying do that now. I'm just saying, guys, at the end of the year, and Lowe knows this, the coach sits down and does an evaluation with each one of his players.
Mm.
Obviously, he told Kuminga, go work on your threes, because that's all the young man does. I would never do that. I would stick him right back down in the block. I've already seen a successful pattern and run it through and then let him make decisions to help everybody else.
Kev, let me ask you really quick.
Wayne.
I don't mean to cut you off, but do you think Kuminga, when you say in the block, you think, are you talking about getting to him out of the post with his back to the hoop? Because I think, isn't he more effective facing up so he can take you off the bounce?